Welcome, everybody. This is Rochelle, the Right Now Coach, and you're at the January Right Now Mastermind class. Today's class is called Three Keys to Writing a Nonfiction Book Fast. And so I'm going to be giving you three keys that I think are essential to be able to write a nonfiction book fast. But first, I want to start with a little disclaimer. And I want to just let you know, I'll be talking about the disclaimer. I want to talk a little bit about why write a book fast. I want to go through the three keys with you, and then we'll have time at the end for your questions. As people come on the line, I've been muting everybody, so we have a nice, quiet classroom. Towards the end of the call, I'll unmute you all, and I'll welcome to share your questions. So I want to start with a disclaimer. While I fully support writing a draft of a book fast, I also believe that writers need to take time to edit our books before we send them off to our agent, editor, or indie publisher. So, as I'm talking, remember, yes, write fast, but also edit slowly and carefully. In order to craft a book that communicates your message well, you may need to take a few months or more to edit your book. So that's my disclaimer. It's very rare that a book written in 26 days is ready to go. Sometimes they can be. That usually depends on the amount of time and training a writer brings to the project. So a lot of people, since Write-A-Thon's come out, a lot of people have asked, well, why would you want to write a book fast? I like to write slow. Why would you do it fast? And I think there are three reasons, at least three that I want to talk about today for writing a book fast. One is that you've always wanted to write a book. You've never really made time to do it. And sometimes the only way to write a book or to do something that's hard is to sign up for something like National Novel Writing Month or any of the other kind of national writing months that are out there. A friend of mine who's a marathon runner says that most people sign up for marathons because that's the only way they're going to be able to commit time to training. And I think that for a lot of us, and I know for me too, signing up for something like National Novel Writing Month or National Poetry Writing Month gives me that external structure to do what I've always wanted to do. So even if, I've always been a writer and have always made time to write, sometimes I don't like really delve into a project unless I sign up for that external thing. Another reason that you might want to write a book fast is that you're trying to meet a deadline. Several years ago, I worked with a client who had a number of speaking engagements coming up late in the year. And so he wanted to get a book together so that he could have them with him when he did his speaking. So he needed to write his book fast. In 2007, I wanted to be able to, I entered the year knowing that there was a writing conference with an agent I wanted to pitch to in March. So I wanted to write my book proposal fast so that I would have it ready for when I met with the agent. So that was another reason for me to get this done fast. So you might have some timely information or an idea that you want to share with your market or your clients, and that's a great reason to get your book written fast. A third reason to write a book fast is that I think it's easier to do a hard thing like writing a book for 30 days than it is to do it for a year or 2 years. So it's easier to do a hard thing like quickly and really dig in than dragging it out over years. And the analogy I think about for this is doing a house project. Let's say you want to redo your kitchen. The question is, how long are you willing to put up with the mess as you work on the kitchen? So someone who's redoing their kitchen might be willing to quit everything else for 2 weeks and work as hard as they can on their kitchen just to get it done. But then there's another type of person who's like, well, the mess doesn't really bother me, and they maybe want to do it for 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 years. And I think that's a good analogy for writing a book. Some of us don't want to have our life disrupted every day for the rest of our life or for the next 2 years. We want to kind of get in there, really work like crazy on the book, and then be done. So that's another reason to write a book fast, is that, you can do anything for 30 days. It gives you kind of a breather for the rest of your life. So now that I've said that, I want to talk about three keys to writing a nonfiction book fast. And the first key is to choose a topic that works. And by work, a topic that works for writing marathon, I think, has three characteristics. And I give them all to you now, and then I'm going to go over each one in turn. The first characteristic is that the topic is something that you as a writer know a lot about, or that you're committed to spending time researching before the marathon starts. The second characteristic of a topic that works for writing marathons is that it's something you're either passionate about or really committed to working on, so something that you're really kind of into. And the third thing is that the topic is clear and narrow enough so that you can write a book in a short period of time. So what I want to do is I want to take each of these in turn and look at them a little more deeply, give you some examples, and then at the end of this, I want to give you an assignment. So the first key is choosing a topic that works, and the first characteristic of a topic that works is something that you know a lot about, or that you're committed to spending time researching before the marathon begins. Monty Hall said, "I'm an overnight success, but it took 20 years to get here." And I like that. Last week on a blog that I was visiting and reading, someone made a comment about my books and my book writing and said, "Well, of course she can write books fast. They're just about religion." You know, and kind of the gist was, well, anybody can write about religion. And at first I was a little miffed, but I realized that his comment, or her comment, I don't remember the gender, had a lot of truth to it. I have two master's degrees in theology and religious literature. I've studied the field for more than 20 years. And because I know a lot about the topic, writing about certain aspects of religion and spirituality is easier for me than it would be for someone without my background. So it's actually a very good topic for me to write on for a writing marathon, because it's something that I'm able to do quickly. But I've not always written books on topics that I've known a lot about. Some of you who've heard me talk about writing marathons have heard me talk about writing a book with a friend back in 2004. We were hired to write a book in 2 weeks on the topic of global travel, specifically traveling to and from underdeveloped countries. Now, my colleague had never traveled outside of the country, and although I'd been to Europe, my knowledge of an underdeveloped country was limited to a couple of trips to Tijuana in my 20s. But our project manager helped us out by providing a dozen or so global travelers that we could interview over the course of a weekend. And so we interviewed them, we recorded all the interviews, we wrote, you know, took notes and had an audio recording. And so we were able to write the book quickly because the information was present for us. So I think it's helpful, if you're going to write a book fast, that you either write about something that you know deeply and well, as you know your own skin, or that you write about something that you have really good access to information. Last week on the blog, I posted a process for writers to inventory their lives for your specialized areas of knowledge and experience. So as you start to think about a topic that you might use for writing your book fast, you might look at that inventory. And when I send you the email about the recording link being up, I'll send you a link to that inventory too, so you don't have to go looking for it. Now, a second feature of topics that work for writing marathons is something that you're either passionate about or that you're really committed to getting out into the public realm for some reason. I have talked a lot about the value of passion when writing a book. I think we're more naturally willing to carve out time to work on a topic that is really exciting and energizing to us. Yesterday on Jane Friedman's blog, she talked about the overuse of the word passion and how sometimes we just have to be committed to something to make it work. And I agree. I think it takes both that passion and then the commitment to move forward on a book project which is a magical mix to make things happen. One of the best tools I found for kind of discovering those magical areas of interest for you comes from Martha Beck's book, Finding Your Own North Star. In the book, she talks about something called your essential self. And this is your core self. This is your true nature. And she lists a number of questions that help readers kind of discover when their essential self is engaged or saying yes. And I think these questions are good tools to help you start thinking about your topic and discerning what you have a passion for. So listen to her questions, and maybe as you jot them down, you'll have some ideas will come to your mind. You're often engaging with a topic or field or area of interest that you're passionate about when, and so listen to these categories. When you're engaged and have energy for the topic, when you feel healthier than ever before when you're working with the topic, when you naturally remember details and ideas from the field, when you lose time in the course of working on it, when you feel confident when you talk about the topic, when you're naturally drawn to people, places, and things related to the topic, and when you work on the topic, you're in a good mood. You feel happy. You don't end up yelling at your dog and your cat. This is how I feel about books and writing. Many years ago, probably 15 years ago, when I was working in a different field, I happened to be with a friend at a bookstore, and I got very animated talking about some sort of series of books. And she said, you know, do you realize how energized you are when you talk about writing in books? And that was a real wake-up call for me, because I hadn't really noticed that. So I want you to think about your own life and think about what might fall into those categories I've been talking about. You know, what are you doing or thinking about during the times in your life when time moves very quickly, when the clock seems to disappear? What do friends notice that you have energy for? And what topics are you drawn to when you're surfing the net or in a bookstore? When I was at the library on Saturday, I ran across a book that just sings passion. It's called Everything I Know About Business I Learned from the Grateful Dead by Barry Barnes. I haven't even looked at the book yet. I took it out because I was curious about it. But my guess is that the book started from Barry Barnes' passion for music and especially for the Grateful Dead. So my assignment for you for this topic is to kind of think about the questions I gave you, but then maybe go on a field trip, either to a bookstore or a library, and just walk around every single shelf. Go to places you haven't been before. And notice what interests you. Notice what you're drawn to. Are there certain kinds of titles you're drawn to? Are there certain kinds of sections you're drawn to? Certain kinds of books that interest you? So that's the second characteristic of topics that work for write-a-thons. The third is that the topic is clear and narrow enough that you can write a book on it in a short period of time. I will never say that every book can be written fast. It can't be. Some books just take more time because they cover a lot more information or they rely a lot on research. For example, as I was looking at my shelves yesterday, I was really taken by Christopher Vogler's wonderful book, The Mythic Journey. And although I think this is probably his big passion, because the book is like 350, 400 pages, I think it probably took longer than 30 days to write. The book explores archetypes and stages of the mythic journey, particularly as it applies to writers and how writers put together stories. So it occurs to me that a book like that would take a lot more time to write. And I'm looking at some of the academic books on my shelves, and they are dependent on a lot of research. So how do you know if your book is clear and narrow enough for you to be able to write it fast? Well, first of all, once you have a sense of your topic, it's good if you can state it in a sentence, almost like your elevator speech that you give about yourself and your work, because it will help you to clarify your topic. So if you can state what the book is and what it does for your reader in a sentence, that can help you decide whether or not the book idea is clear enough. So my working sentence for Write-A-Thon when I was writing it was something like this. Write-A-Thon provides readers who want to write a book fast but don't know how to do it the tools, tips, and encouragement to do so in 26 days. Now, it's a little awkward, but it was an early draft of what I was working on, and it helped me kind of get narrowed down to exactly what I wanted to do with the book. Once you have your topic sentence for your book, I would encourage you to make a list of what you want to include in the book, all of the different topics that you think you're going to cover. I want you to think about a 26-day book as something that's about 50,000 words or less. And as you look at your list, think, can I cover this topic in 50,000 words or less, or do I need to narrow it? Am I getting too far afield with some of these topic ideas within my main thesis? So the first key is to get a topic that works, and we talked about three different aspects of that or characteristics of that key. First of all, the topic is something that you know a lot about or you're committed to working on. Secondly, the topic is something that you're either passionate about or committed to spending time on. And finally, the topic is clear and narrow enough that you're going to be able to write a book on it in a short period of time. So I want to move to key two. Key two is get a book structure that works for you. And what do I mean by book structure? A book structure is how it's organized, and it includes a number of things. First of all, the book's sections, so part one, part two, part three. Secondly, the book's chapters. Thirdly, the structure of your individual chapters. So, you know, are they essays? Are they essays with exercises? Are there additional pieces like epigraphs, sidebars, call-outs, illustrations? And then fourth, any additional pieces that you might be putting in the book, like a preface, an introduction, an afterword, an appendix, or an index. I think the book structure can make or break a book. And when I work with clients, one of the big things we work on is creating a structure that really works for the information they're communicating to the reader. In my experience and in working with clients, I found that once you discover the perfect structure or the most workable structure, the book is much easier to write. And let me give you a personal example. Back in 2000, 2001, my husband and I wrote a book called The Spiritual Leader's Guide to Self-Care. And when we proposed the book to the publisher, we proposed, you know, your basic 8 to 12 chapter books with some anecdotes and exercises at the end, maybe questions for reflection. And I think in the middle of writing chapter two, we got so bogged down. The chapters were really long. They were 30 or 40 pages long, and they felt just unwieldy. And we knew that the book, the way it was, felt heavy and difficult. It was not fun to write and probably would not be fun for readers to engage with either. So we took some time off. We talked to each other. We talked to the editor. We looked at a bunch of books. And we ended up developing a new structure that had six different sections that covered different areas of wellness, and then 52 weeks of exercises that covered specific things that people could do. And it was very exercise-driven. It was less kind of expert-driven and more of a guide for people who wanted to work on their own life. And once we had the structure, the book was actually quite easy to write. But until we had the structure, it really felt like we were sludging through mud. So in the book Write-A-Thon, I talk about the various types of books that work for writing marathons. I talk about eight basic structures, and I want to review those for you now. And then I want to talk about a ninth structure that I think is also a really good structure for a 26-day book. So I'm just going to review these. They're in the book in a chapter called The 26-Day Book if you want to look it up. One kind of structure that I think works really well for a write-a-thon book or a writing marathon book is a memoir, especially a short memoir. And if you take a look at the memoir shelves, there are a number of memoirs that are quite short that probably fall way under the 50,000 word mark. A second book that works well for the writing marathon is the Big Idea book. And the Big Idea book is a book that has a single big idea, and it just explores or explains that idea with a number of anecdotes and evidence. So an example would be Seth Godin's Tribes, or the Heath Brothers book, Made to Stick. They're not really complex books. They're kind of more like a longer treatise on a single subject. A third book that works well for a writing marathon is a how-to book. A how-to book takes something that you know how to do very well and teaches others how to do it. A very good example is Brooke Seiler's book, The Pilates Body, which teaches readers who don't know Pilates how to take some of the techniques and apply them to their own life when they're doing other things, like vacuuming or cleaning or going for a walk. So a how-to book is just, you know, like how to bake bread, you know, how to win at LinkedIn, how to win at golf, stuff like that. A fourth kind of book that you could do would be a process book. It's a little different from the how-to book. It also tells you how to do something, but it's more a process. And so what it does is it gives readers a process to follow and tools that they can use for the process for a time period between 21 and 365 days. So it might be a book of retreats. It might be a book of exercise routines. I think of The Spiritual Leader's Guide to Self-Care, which I talked about a bit ago, as more of a process book. It's not really a how-to. A how-to would tell you how to do something. The process book really gives you a format for working through things on your own. A fifth kind of book that works well for the writing marathon is the essay book. A book of essays collects short writings around a subject or theme. So I think of one of my favorite books is Rachel Raymond's book, Kitchen Table Wisdom, which talks about, you know, the stories that she kind of collected while she was working with people who are dying of cancer. I also think of, you know, the series of books that Richard Carlson wrote on Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and It's All Small Stuff. They're just tiny little essays. Maybe they have an epigraph or something and then a to-do at the end. But they're really tiny books. A sixth kind of book would be the list book. The list book is really a variation on the book of essays. The writer develops a list of 10 or 12 or 99 things that you need to know on a subject and then kind of spins out some essays or information based on the 10 items. So an example would be Kent Keith's book, Anyway, the Paradoxical Commandments. And so he goes through his 10 kind of upside-down commandments, not based on the biblical commandments, but his own ideas. Book 7 would be a book of quotes, prayers, inspiration, any kind of book that collects pieces of wisdom, sayings. Joyce Rupp has a brand new book called Fragments of Your Ancient Name, which collects 365 names of God, and each day has a prayer that uses that name of God. An eighth kind of book that works for this writing marathon is the parable book. The parable book is just one short story that teaches the idea of the book. And so the idea embedded in the story helps readers to solve a problem in an inspiring way. So a popular book would be Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson. And if you go online and do a little looking, there's a ton of these little books. And Who Moved My Cheese is only an 11,000 word book. It's a very short one. So those are the eight I list in my book. Of course, there's scads more, and you probably could come up with five or six on your own just looking at your bookshelf. Another category that I think has become really popular and I think works well with this 26-day writing marathon is the project book. The project book talks about a project that you take on and write about. Often these are the books that get blogged. Maybe the most famous one is Julie and Julia, where the author took on the project of cooking through Julia Child's cookbook, The Joy of Cooking, and she blogged about it. It became a book and a movie. Another one is a happiness project by Gretchen Rubin, where she tried to do a happiness intervention every month over the course of the year, and she blogged about it, and then her blog turned into a book. So the question people ask me is, well, how do I find a book structure that's going to work? The first thing is to pay attention to the book structures you like. So name your five favorite books, you know, the books that you have found to be the most helpful or life-changing to you in your life. And take a look at them. And look at their structures. And, you know, look at structure the way I talked about it at the beginning of this section. So you're going to look at what are the big parts, you know, are there sections that the author divides the book into, how many chapters, how long are the chapters, what does each individual chapter look like, what are the pieces inside the chapter, and then are there any additional pieces? You know, like an appendix or whatever. And so what I want you to do is look at these five favorite books and say, okay, what about this works? And what do I like about this? And what do I not like about these structures? And what would I maybe pull from these to put my information in? And so as you kind of think about these structures and then you look at your topic and the list of information you're going to cover, I want you to think, you know, does my information naturally fit with one of the structures that I'm drawn to or one of the structures we've talked about today? And if it doesn't, can we imagine a structure that really fits better? Can I create a structure that really fits? Once you have a structure, you can make an outline for your book. You might be able to even estimate how many words you need to write for each section and chapter and so forth. I guess before we move on to key three, I just want to emphasize that I think structure is really important. It's really going to make this book easier for you to read, to write, and easier for the reader to connect with. I do want you to kind of think about, if you're stuck in a book project, always ask yourself, is this a structural issue? Is there something missing in the way I've structured this book? And could I do something differently to make it work better? For me, as a writer, when I look at past projects, my challenges have usually come because the structure just doesn't work. And it's been a matter of having to finagle or move around the structure until it works. And it may take some time to figure out the structure. It may take some research. So I want to move to the third key. And the third key is schedule the time and commit, and to commit to putting your butt in the chair. So, you know, it's not a big surprise. The only way you're going to be able to write a book in 26 days or 30 days is to sit down and write every day. To me, this is where book dreams are born and book dreams die. It all depends on whether or not you're willing to make the sacrifices that you need to make to take time to write the book. I think that now that once you know the sense of your book's topic and what the structure is going to look like, and probably you even know kind of the length of each chapter, you can probably do the math and set up a schedule. When I wrote Write-A-Thon, I knew that each chapter was going to be 500 to 1,000 words. I have estimated the length of the book to be 50,000 words. The final product's about 75 or 80,000 words. So I knew I had to write about 1,700 words a day. I also knew that if I was going to finish in a month, and I also knew that if I wanted to finish faster, or if I wanted to take time off, I'd have to write a little bit more than that. So I encourage you to kind of do the math. Figure out how long you have to write the book, and then do the math as to how many words you're going to have to write per day. And figure in time off. You know, give yourself a day off a week or 2 days off a week. Figure in the fact that kids might get sick or parents might have an emergency or a colleague or work might have an emergency. In Write-A-Thon, I talk about a study about how people who know the when and where they're going to do something are much more likely to complete it This comes from a study that was done with women who performed breast cancer self-exams. And what was interesting about the study is that everybody had a very good intention about doing it. Everybody wanted to complete the breast self-exams. What happened was that one group was asked to write down when and where they would do the exam, and the other group was not. And 100%, or almost 100% of the people who said, this is when I'm going to do it, this is where I'm going to do it, did it. But only about 53% of the second group, the people who didn't designate when and where, did it. So I really believe in the power of putting something in the calendar, in pen. Make a date with yourself, make a date with the book. Do what you can to eliminate other distractions. So first of all, get out your calendar and for the month of the write-a-thon and schedule the time. Give yourself time to write. If you think you're going to need time to research and during the month, schedule that time too. The second thing I'd say is that know that your writing is going to be easier for you if you're writing during the time of day when you write best. I once read that most of us have two periods during the day when we do well with intellectual tasks, and I think what they said was mornings and early evenings, like from 5 to 7 or something. And after I've worked with a lot of clients, I think that all of us have different rhythms. And so when we're engaged in writing and when we're best engaged with our writing is really going to depend on you and your individual rhythm. And my guess is that you know that. So I would encourage you to think back to your most successful writing times and just make some notes. What time of day was it? What were the circumstances that surrounded your success? Were you also exercising? Were you staying off the internet? Were you writing alone? Were you writing with people? Were you writing late at night? Were you writing early in the morning? Were your kids around? Were they not around? You know, all those things figure into it. I've had clients who write best from midnight to 3 in the morning. I have clients who write best over supper time, and I've had clients who write like I do in the morning. And I've had writers, you know, who will do it whenever, and they're fine at any time. So find out when you write best and try to write then. Then make a commitment to putting your butt in the chair. To me, this is the bottom line for writing a book. Peter DeVries, who's a wonderful comic novelist, said, I write when I'm inspired, and I see to it that I'm inspired at 9 o'clock every morning. And I love that because I think that really is a good reminder. I talk a lot about techniques for putting your butt in the chair or keeping your butt in the chair in my book, Write-A-Thon. So I don't want to belabor that now, but I do want to give you a few tips. So first of all, if you can, clean up your writing space. If you, like me, use your writing space for other things, so I also edit books here and I see clients and I take care of billing and all that, and I watch movies and I play Words with Friends, so I tend to have a lot of stuff on my desk. And one of the things I'm trying to do is move some of that stuff over onto a shelf somewhere out of my space while I'm writing so that I don't have to look at my to-do list. It's really hard to concentrate on your writing when you're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to call this person. I've got to remember to call this person. I've got to call that person. So try to clean up your writing space. If you have trouble with all these ideas coming into your head, keep a notepad of paper or a separate document open where you can just jot down these ideas, these thoughts, and then say, I'll deal with them later. Another thing that can be helpful is to give yourself some sort of visual cue so that when you sit down at the computer, you know that your job is to write and to work on your book. I know sometimes if I don't have that, I'll get to the computer and I'll think, huh, what am I doing today? So sometimes I'll put a sticky note right on the keyboard that says, you know, open this document, write this scene. Sometimes I'll just leave that document open on my computer so that when I wake my computer up from sleep, that's what I'm looking at, is that window. Another thing that can be really helpful is to turn off anything that demands your attention. Your cell phone, your email, Twitter, Facebook, anything that's going to come in and cause you to kind of go check something else while you're supposed to be writing. There are some nice little gadgets or apps that you can use to do that. I don't think you need them. All you have to do is turn off the internet access on your computer. But there are programs that will turn off the internet access for you for a certain amount of time per day and not allow you back on until the next day or until you're done with your writing or whatever. If you need to, set a timer for your writing so that you don't have to look at the clock, so that, you know, set a timer knowing that you've got a half an hour to work before you need to go to work or go to school or whatever, and do your writing and don't look at the clock. It's really helpful if you can have a buddy who's going to hold you accountable and support you. I've met a lot of people recently on Twitter who are really big at doing writing sprints, and so they'll challenge another writer on Twitter to do a writing sprint, and they'll work really fast and then see who got more words done in that half hour or hour. And I think that can be really helpful. It's wonderful to have that kind of competition built into it, but also that accountability. To be able to say at the end of the day or at the end of the week, yep, I did my writing every day this week, or nope, I didn't, and then have your friend say, well, why didn't you? You know, what worked, what didn't work? And then the last thing I would say in terms of keeping yourself motivated is make sure you give yourself a reward. I've just been working with a bunch of new clients on a StrengthsFinder, and so I've been reading the various strengths descriptions. One of mine is Achiever, and one of the characteristics of the Achiever is that we tend not to stop and acknowledge our achievements. We just move on to the next thing. And I've met a lot of writers like that. You know, their project is out the door, they got their check, they're on to the next thing, there's no party, and there's no excitement, it's just let's go. So I hope that at the end of each day of writing, you give yourself a tiny reward, even if it's just, you know, a little television or a walk outside. And then at the end of, you know, the write-a-thon, you give yourself a big reward. So there you have it, the three keys to writing a nonfiction book fast. First of all, you want to have a topic that works. Secondly, you want to have a book structure that works. And finally, you want to make sure you get your butt in the chair. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody, and that will just take a second. And then anybody who has questions, I'm happy to answer you. So I'm unmuting everybody. Any questions from the group? Before we get to questions, I do want to remind you that it would be great to have you with you in February, with me, on February 22nd at 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. Our guest will be Michael Larson, who's an agent and the author of How to Write a Book Proposal. He will be talking about context, character, and connection, the three keys to becoming a successful writer in a bottom-up world. I've been a big fan of Michael Larson's for many years. I recommend his book to pretty much everybody I meet. So it'd be great if you can make it. Any question? I'd be happy to help with a specific question or a question on the material I've presented. A quiet group today. Anybody working on a book that, you know, oh, I'm stuck here, I'm stuck there, any questions to, or any suggestions, anything that you have found that's really been helpful to you that you'd like to share with the group?
Rochelle, I have a question.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dick Cronick. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay.
My wife and I took a two-week driving vacation starting the day after Christmas, and I kept a journal every day. I wrote at the end of the day what we had done, and I'm an architectural historian, and a lot of it was about art and architecture. And then after the trip, which was undoubtedly, we agreed, the best vacation we've ever had. It was so exciting. We saw such wonderful architecture and art everywhere. We went to the southeast part of the United States, 4,600 miles.
Wow.
And, yeah. And when I got back, I edited it. And I inserted over 90 photos of the things that I was writing about, and that's the way it sits. And I have sent it to a few people, and said, you know, do you think this is publishable? What, do I need to add anything? And my own thought is that it's too much about stuff and not enough about the personal emotions and interpersonal stuff going on between my wife and me, between us and our family members, anything else, you know, all the other stuff that is the subtext, the stream running under the surface.
Yeah.
So that's where it's at, and I just wonder if you have any thoughts.
Yeah, I guess, you know, my thought would be is I'd like you to take a little time and think about who is your ideal reader for the book, and what is the value you add to their life with this book. I'd also encourage you to look around at some of the other books like that. The one that's coming to mind that I've seen a lot lately is something like So Many Trips to Take Before You Die. It's like the bucket list for travel, and it's pictures and essay. So I guess I'd have you do two things. One, look at other books in this market and see what they do, and then think about what could this do for the reader, and what do I need to either add or delete to make it more sellable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think I already know the answer. It's for architecture buffs.
Mm.
You know, and I deal with them all the time. I lead architecture tours in the Minneapolis and the upper Midwest, and I write about architecture all the time. And I know these people very well. I am one. And I know what turns us on and what's exciting for us to be in, to hear about. So I think I know the answers to those questions, but I think you're right. I have been harboring the same question, is that I don't read travel books. And I guess I better read some and see what people do.
Yeah, I would encourage that, and I'd also encourage you to talk to some of your colleagues and say, okay, if you were going to buy something like this or whatever, what would you want it to have in it to make better and different? You know, because I think I want to say there's nothing like, what would I call it, the market research. And sometimes market research means talking to your colleagues. Sometimes it means talking to your local bookstore people. And you've got some great independent bookstores there in Minneapolis to talk to folks about these kind of books. So, take a look and stop by on another call and let us, or drop me an email and let me know how it goes.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thanks. Other questions?
Hi, my name is Eleanor Robin. I'm in Boca Raton, Florida. I have a question, just your opinion on attending book conferences.
Hmm. And what kind?
The book that I am writing is nonfiction.
Okay. I think writing, attending either like a festival of the book conference or a writing conference is incredibly helpful for several reasons. First of all, I think it's really good to be able to kind of connect with other writers, professional and aspiring, who are doing the same thing that you're doing. And I think my sense of having attended these for years is that you will learn as much from your colleagues as you will from the people up front. The second reason I think it's really helpful is that it's a really good way to start connecting with editors and agents. One of our books came out of a 5-minute conversation in the hallway at a writing conference back in 1998 or 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wouldn't have said, hey, I want to meet you, this is what we're interested in doing, are you guys interested in this, that book never would have happened. So I think that's another reason a book conference is good, is that you get a chance to connect to agents and editors with your ideas. Sometimes it can lead to work for hire. Sometimes it can lead to a book contract. And the third reason is that it really, even if you're just at one of the more of the festival of the book thing where you're more listening and not doing so much workshopping, it really increases your knowledge of the market. And I feel like as a writer, my job is to get to know the market that my book is going to be in. And so I think you can really fast forward your learning by going to a book conference.
Okay. Okay. So with that said, do you have a favorite company for self-publishing and why? What do you think, you know, who would you recommend and who would you say avoid? And I realize it's only, you know, your opinion on who would be a good idea to avoid.
Yeah, that is a tough one. There's a book that I recommend to everybody, and I'll put it in the email to you all. I believe it's called The Indies Guide to, or The Guide to Indie Publishing. Yeah, The Indie Author Guide by April Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And she has self-publishing strategies. There's also another book, and it's a hard book for me to either recommend or not recommend because the author owns a self-publishing company. I guess I would rather than saying this company is great or this company isn't, I would really look at the company that gives you the best all-around deal. I would check out Predators and Editors online and see what publishing houses, what indie publishing houses they say to stay away from. There are some who are going to not edit your work. There are some who are going to take a lot of your money and not give you very much in return. Mm-hmm. There are some that are going to take a lot of your money both upfront and as royalties. There are some who are going to give you really poor service. So those are all things to be aware of as you're going into it. And then the other thing is you're going into indie publishing is to really kind of, you have to think about your market just as much as the traditionally published author and even more so since you'll be doing your own marketing. And
right.
all authors do their own marketing. Don't think that if you get traditionally published you won't be doing anything because you're going to be doing something.
Right. Do you think that there's a difference between an independent publisher and a self-publisher? I know there is one company who says that there is a difference, but I still can't figure out what the difference is between independent and self. To me, they seem one and the same.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're in a really interesting time where things are changing so fast, and there's so much opportunity for new publishers, and they're calling themselves indie publishers now. I think, you know, the biggest difference is going to be what's your upfront cost. You know, really look at that because there are small independent publishers that are more traditional that you don't spend $30,000 or $3,000 upfront. They still foot the bill for putting together your book. And there may be more print-on-demand publishers that are a little more reasonable. But for the most part, you just have to do your research on a case-by-case basis. And hopefully I'll be able to get someone on indie publishing this year, and we can have a good conversation on that. Thanks for your question.
Thank you for being there. Thank you.
Great to have you with us, Eleanor.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Well, I have a question about the essay format for the books that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, in your opinion, are essays often written as scenes or partial scenes, or is it just more of an opinion piece? I mean, do you think there's any guidelines for how to write essays?
Well, I think it depends on the type of book. And so I've definitely seen kind of the memoir book can be little scenes here and there. But then you'll see something more like Anne Lamott's books, which are essay books, and they are kind of a full-blown essay with both vignettes and a point that she makes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking of is Anne Lamott.
Yeah, and so it's going to be different based on who you are and what you write. And, you know, it'll also depend on kind of what your length tends to be, because she seems to write in about a 1,200 to 1,800 word essay. My essays tend to be about 1,000 words. And so you're going to find as you work on the book what your perfect length is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's helpful.
Okay, thank you. Other questions from the group? Sorry, my dogs are barking. It must be the mailman. So,
no,
other questions?
Okay.
Well, I want to remind you all that we meet again on February 22nd, 2012 at noon Central Standard Time. Our guest will be Michael Larson, who's the agent and author of How to Write a Book Proposal. I will be sending out a link to the recording along with some resources after today's call. And so look for that email probably Friday. So thanks, everybody, for coming. I hope you have a great day, and I hope you all get your books written this year. Take care. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.